Now, if you want to be one of those healthier people, you've likely heeded advice to limit fat in your diet, especially from food like meat, eggs, and cheese. We've heard that advice for decades, but the evidence suggests fat is not quite the villain we've been told. NPR's Allison Aubrey has the first of two stories.
If you want to trace our fear of fat, Washington, D.C. is a good place to start, right at the U.S. Capitol.
So over here is a statue of George Shoup, who was a senator from Idaho.
That's Senate historian Don Ritchie, and he says Shoup was a beefy guy.
Yes, he protrudes. His belly sticks way out beyond his waistcoat.
And this was considered to be...
This was the epitome of success in the late 19th century. A large man was somebody who had accomplished something.
And corpulence was still a sign of power in the 1950s. As we stroll past a Senate dining room, Ritchie shows me a menu printed in May 1954.
We have, for instance, deep-fried southern chicken, you know, lots of mashed potatoes with gravy.
There were sweetbreads, Salisbury steak, buttered succotash, and pineapple cheesecake.
Yes, a lot of hearty food. And this was midday.
The economy was booming, and many Americans were living high on the hog. But soon, that prosperity began to cast a dark shadow within the halls of Congress.
If you look at the statistics, members were dying at a rather large rate.
This was an era when it was not uncommon for American men to drop dead of heart attacks. In the 60s and 70s, 8 senators died in office of heart disease.
When you have colleagues who die prematurely, that's sort of a wake-up call.
The harms of smoking were already on the radar, but scientists were just beginning to make connections between diet and heart disease. Senator George McGovern of South Dakota decided the government should put the issue on the front burner. So he called a hearing and summoned the likes of Nathan Pritikin, a longevity guru who believed a diet could reverse disease, and a Harvard professor who pointed to preliminary evidence that eggs and meat raised cholesterol. The message that came out of this hearing was that America's problem was the overconsumption of fat.
The thinking of the day was that you wanted to reduce fat consumption.
Gary Taubes is a science writer who's written extensively on this topic. He says the hearing led to the first set of U.S. dietary guidelines. And Taubes says once fat was fingered as the villain, the thought was that any way you could get it out of the diet had to be a good thing.
And if we did it by merely replacing, you know, milk and cheese and fatty meat with carbohydrates, with pasta and potatoes and rice, this would make us live longer and it would make us thinner.
Now, to be fair, Taub says the kind of carbohydrates the guideline writers had in mind were whole grains, fruits, and vegetables. But this message was lost in translation. What Americans heard was fat is bad and carbs are good. And the food industry saw the low-fat, high-carb mantra as an opportunity to create a whole new range of products. Remember fat-free frozen yogurt? Or how about Snackwells?
Excuse me, do you make these delicious fat-free Snackwell double scoop cookies?
Why, yes, I do.
Want to tell us why we can't find them in the stores anymore?
Foods with little or no fat flew off the shelves. Pretzels were good. Nuts were bad. Baked potatoes were fine, but hold the sour cream.
By the early 1990s, the whole country had effectively gone on a low-fat diet.
But for many Americans, a low-fat diet meant more sugar, more refined grains, and more packaged foods. And what happened?
Right around this time is when America starts getting fatter and more diabetic.
And a number of experts say that in trying to address one problem, heart disease, by removing fat, the original dietary guidelines actually made things worse.
There are definitely unintended consequences of the original guidelines.
That's Mary Flynn, a professor of medicine at Brown University. And she says over the last 40 years, research has shown that the fat people have been trying so hard to avoid is not the enemy it was thought to be.
There's been a number of studies done, and there's been no benefit for low-fat diets to lead to better weight loss, and there's no benefit for low-fat diets to lead to less disease.
What's clear now, she says, is that avoiding fat is not the key to a healthy diet. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
Monday, Allison reports on why eating some fats can be good for you.